This is our second time actually being able to come up here and share a little bit with you guys. So before we do anything, I always want to go to the Lord in prayer. So if you please bow your heads. Father Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, with open arms, open ears, open hearts, that we may hear your word. We may take it into our hearts, Lord, and live it out. We want to give you thanks and glory for everything you do in our lives, Lord. The ability you give us to share your word to those who need to hear. And Lord, we just thank you for your Son who died on the cross for us, whose blood has set us free. It's in his name we give thanks and praise. Amen. So before I start talking, I'm going to let my wife share a little bit, kind of give a little update with what's happening in Ecuador during this time. We're pretty much in constant contact with Kim and Guido Oriana, who are still in Ecuador. I'm going to let her talk, because after I start, she won't get another chance.
Good morning. So we are a little older than your second-year missionaries that you usually see. We are called second-career missionaries, which is a nice way of saying older or slow learners, because it took us a while to be a little obedient to God. Todd and I were both public school teachers here in Ohio. We lived just west of Columbus. He taught for 25 years. I taught for 22 years before God called us to Ecuador. And as you know Kim and Guido Oriana, who have been in Payatanga, Ecuador for 16 years now. And they run a camp there called Camp Payatanga. We spent the last year rebranding that. It is now called Lugar de Shalom, which means place of peace. So we've created new signs, and we were in the process of doing all that when the world shut down, so it's kind of in between. We were there, and we were not planning to leave, but we had our youngest daughter with us, Madeline, who is now a freshman at Cedarville University here. Our oldest daughter, Olivia, is a junior at Wright State University. So she had been up here. Madeline was with us in Ecuador. Madeline was born with a severe congenital heart defect, which day to day is fine, but we didn't foresee a worldwide pandemic, and so OMS got a little antsy with having her there. And when the medical system collapsed, our regional director sent us an email. He said, "We would really like you guys to come back to the United States." So we prayed about it, and we said, you know, there's no flights. Ecuador closed the border on March 17th. There were no more flights in or out. And then we got an email from the embassy saying that they were running some humanitarian repatriation flights, but we missed the chance to get on the last one. So we thought, okay, well, we'll pray about it. We'll say we'll go, but we really didn't want to go. We felt very safe where we were. And then another flight came open, and so we said yes, and we would be on it, because that's what OMS had asked us to do. And it has been a real blessing. It was very hard to leave, because we felt that there was stuff that we needed to do there. But come to find out that this is exactly where God needed us to be, and at the time that God needed us to be here. So Kim and Guido have been holding down the fort in Payatanga. They have been working with the community and the government to provide food, because here, March and April, things shut down here. But in Ecuador, things shut down hard. There was curfew. We were only allowed to be out of the house, not just out of our houses, from 6 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening. You can only drive on certain days of the week, depending on what the last number of your license plate was. The curfew has gotten a little more relaxed now, but the license plate thing still exists. So everything was shut down. So there was no way for people to get money for food. So the government had started bringing some money, but also with the support of churches from here. The church that Kim and Guido started in Payatanga 2 years ago worked with the government, and they provided food bags for many people, especially in the rural communities. And one of our parishioners, his name is Marcelo, and he is the fire chief in Payatanga. And so because the firefighters were allowed to be outside after curfew, they were delivering the food. And so that has been a huge blessing, and we've also been able to use that time. Marcelo was able to pray with people and minister to people, and when things started opening up a little more, our friend Priska was in line at the bank, and she saw somebody had a leaflet in her hand, in their hands, that we'd put in, that Kim and Guido put in the food bags, telling them, you know, who we were, who God is, and giving numbers of people he'd call to pray with. And she said, I don't know where this church is, but when things open up again, I know I want to be there. So it's just with your support and your prayers that we are able to continue to do stuff like that in the community of Paeatanga. We are heading back on October 12th now. We have a firm date for that. We're going to be taking some used laptops with us because just like here, the schools are closed. They have instituted online learning, but in the cities that works, in Paeatanga, we have children who don't even have electricity or running water. So there's no way for them to access online learning. So we are going to open the church and start a tutoring center where the kids can come and access their schoolwork, and we have a couple printers, and we're going to be able to print off their work and to send home with them so that they can access education until things start opening back up. So that's going to be one of the first things we do when we get back. And then just continue to work within the community as we're able. The camp, of course, I don't even know when we'll have campers again. Our last camp was the beginning of February, right before things started to shut down. The beginning of March was the last camp that we had, and then everything shut down. So just continue to be in prayer for Paeatanga, for the people. The virus is still very, very active, and here, the virus seems to be weakening a little bit. I've read scientific reports where people are still getting sick, but not as many people are being hospitalized. That's not the case in Ecuador. The virus is still very strong, and because of the medical system there, we still have a lot of people that are dying. So please pray for the people there. They're scared because they're in Paeatanga, we don't have any access to medical care. In fact, Kim has been, because we host medical teams, so she's been providing some medicine that we have there left over from medical teams, because we're the only medical care there for, she's in contact with doctors here in the United States that advise her on what to give. So pray for the people of Paeatanga, pray for Kim and Guido. They did contract the virus a couple weeks ago. They are recovering. We praise God that they were able to just medicate at home and maintain and are doing well. But so pray for them, and then pray for us as we prepare to go back, especially for me, because it's going to be hard. It's hard being an empty nest, but it's even harder when your nest is empty, way far away from your kids. So thank you, and we're so happy to be here.
All right. So, as Barbara was saying, things, it kind of, It bothers me how in the United States we've become so soft and so used to my stuff. And then, we talk about Ecuador and other countries. I know it's not just Ecuador, but other countries that, in Ecuador, if you left your house and they caught you outside, the first one was like a $200 fine. And most of those people are making $10 a day. Second time was like a $400 fine if they caught you out. Third time they said they were going to put you in prison. I'm pretty sure they were serious. So, people say, well, I don't want to wear a mask, whatever. I don't want to go there. So, but yeah, please pray. Pray for the entire world. We need to pray for our government here as November's coming forward and things are happening. It's a very, I hear people say it's a very strange time. I truly believe in my heart it's a time when the Lord is preparing, and He may come back real soon. As Matt said, we don't know what tomorrow brings. It may bring the Lord, please. In the world today, it's a world that definitely needs God. I do have a little slideshow. Ex school teacher, my wife did put. I got notes. Because if I don't have notes, then I ramble, and we could be here for 2 or 3 days. So I put together a little slideshow every once in a while. So this is our family. As Barbara said, we have two daughters, Madeline and Olivia. Olivia is our oldest at 22, and Madeline just turned 18 in May. She's going to Cedarville, which we're so happy with that choice. And then we have a picture of the Oriana family. I know it's been a while since the Orianas have been able to be here. We have three. Elena's birthday was yesterday, and she's 14 now. Sophia's 9, and then Isabel is 17, so they're growing, and they're holding down the fort in Ecuador. What I want to talk about today, anybody know the group Casting Crowns? The Christian group Casting Crowns? Casting Crowns has been a big part of our Christian life. I was not a Christian until actually Madeline was born with a heart defect. That God used that to grab a hold of me, because that was at my lowest. You know, we're in a children's hospital. She could die, and that's when God really spoke to me and said, listen, I got it. And he said, just let it go. So that's when he really grabbed my heart, and I did. I have nothing to do but let it go. So Casting Crowns was one of the first groups that we heard at that time. They sang a song, Praise You in the Storm. And that song really spoke to us. So I started following, listening to Casting Crowns. And I really like Mark Hall as the lead singer for Casting Crowns. And he's a lot like me. And if you've ever been to one of their concerts, he talks about how when he was a youth, he did not like to read because he was dyslexic. And on top of that, he also had ADD, attention deficit disorder. So if he wanted to read, he couldn't focus anyways. And then he also couldn't read it because it was all jumbled up. I'm a little bit like that. I'm not dyslexic, but things, I have a little bit of a recording. Here's a teacher, right? I have a little thing about when I read, it's hard for me to remember. So I have to read things three or four times before it can really sink in. So music really speaks to me. So God uses music to speak to me. And Casting Crowns has a song called Just Be Hell. And we were actually blessed to go a couple weeks ago. Our anniversary was in August, 25 years. So thank you. So as part of that, we were able to actually, Casting Crowns is doing a drive-in concert tour. And they were in Kenton, Ohio recently. I think that's fairly close to here. But we went and saw them, and they sang the song Just Be Held. And God said, you got to use this. So he gave me this word for Just Be Held. So I want to share that song if you haven't heard that song. So we have it, and it has the lyrics. And I just want to take a few moments, listen to it, focus on the words, focus on what God is using. And Mark always talks about, he's their youth leader at their church in Atlanta. And he talks about every song that Casting Crown has comes out of something that they've used in church youth that God has given them the word to use. So if we just focus on that for a while and just listen to that, and then I'll be back here.
Everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Storm, you wonder if the love is still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted. In time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. yourself far away. You're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held.
I hear that song, it just, the line that really kind of catches me is, you know, just stop holding on and just be held. And I think about that, and I asked Seth, my new friend Seth, if he would come up and help with a little demonstration and his loved daughter. Because to me, you know, that line just speaks to me a little bit about stop holding on and just be held. So I want to have a little demonstration. I taught science for 22 years, so I like these experiments. So I asked Seth if he'd come up and help me out a little bit with this demonstration, if we can get a little bit of, yeah, you okay? And so if you can just stand on the ground for a second, sweetie. And I just want Seth to hold his hands out. And can you hold on to Daddy's hands? No? No? Oh, okay. But he can do this. Oh, that's okay, sweetie. Thank you. But is she heavy, Seth? You hold her pretty, you can hold her all day?
Not all day.
But you'll be able to hold her much longer than she could hold onto your hands. Because if he held his hands down and she grabbed her hands, she could hold on. Only for a short time, and then she would have to let go. You're okay, sweetie. Thank you. But only for a short time. And I kind of, and God, you know, was talking to me about that. And I think about sometimes we want to hold on so tight. We want to hold on so tight sometimes, but we can't. We can't. And but like Seth, he's able to hold on to her much more and much more securely than she can hang on to him. And that's what God is talking about. And that's what this song kind of gave me. Is that your God? Sometimes things are in our lives, and let's think about this. You know, it's been a very different 6 months of this first year, from April to now, and it does seem like the world is kind of falling apart around us. I know I was talking to Roland yesterday, and schools up here have opened back up, but like Barbara said in Piatang, in Ecuador, the schools are all online, so there's no choice to go to school or not go to school. It's all online. And, you know, things are definitely a lot different these last 6 months. But, and I have another picture. If you show the next picture, please. And this popped into my mind as well. Anybody ever been a lifeguard? Lifeguards? But I know when they teach you about lifeguarding, and if somebody is drowning in a pool or in a lake or in a river or whatever, what's the lifeguard supposed to do? You're supposed to get behind them and help pull them out, help guide them out. What happens if the person is struggling or fighting against the lifeguard? It's more difficult. And they actually both can drown. So not only can the person who is struggling drown, but it also can cause the lifeguard to put them in a situation where they could also maybe lose their life. So sometimes I feel like this is what we are. We're the people, and we're struggling with what's going on in the world. We're struggling with ourselves, our identity of who we are, of where the world sees us, how the world sees us, and how people see us, how our friends see us. And we're struggling with that. And God has come along and gave us Jesus to save us, to pull us out of whatever situation we're in. But we still want to struggle for sometimes. You know, for our human side, or or that free choice or whatever God gave us, we struggle with that, and we want to fight and struggle, and the fight really is just against ourselves and against God. And obviously God is not going to drown, but we can go under the water, and it can definitely lead to a lot of bad choices. In my life, I struggled a lot with bad choices, especially as a teenager, with alcohol and the use of alcohol. And I was struggling with the world. I didn't know God. I knew there was a God existed, but I didn't need that. I don't need Him. I don't need that. I had everything else I wanted. But with everything that's happening in the world today, think about, obviously the virus is the biggest thing out there, but other than the virus, the rioting, the looting, all the craziness of people being murdered and killed, and just what happens in our normal everyday lives in the world is all of sin. I see things on Facebook, it's not this color, it's a sin problem. It is a sin problem. When sin entered the world, the world became dark. And God saw a way out, and He gave us the light of Jesus. So, my question today is, what are we putting our hope in? When this whole virus happened, what did my mind go to? Because I'm not special, but what did my mind go to? Oh, as a science teacher, I thought, your vaccine. First thing popped my head, vaccine, right? We're going to need a vaccine. Get this virus, we're going to need a vaccine. Right? When's the vaccine going to happen? Are we putting our hope, or are we going to wait and put our hope in this vaccine that's going to come? And it will come eventually, but is that what we're going to put our hope into? Are we going to put our hope in the government? We got these elections coming up in November. Is that where our hope's at? Is that where our future holds? Is in whether Donald Trump wins or Joe Biden? Is that our future? Is that who we really got to focus on, and what's going to save us? Is the government? What? So, I'm going to read Psalms. We look at Psalms 46, please. You don't have to open the Bible. Put it up here, but it's small. So if you want to look at it in the Bible, it's Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of gold, a holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail, or she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Dissolutions He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." That's what we got to focus on. We got to understand that no matter what's going on in our lives, everything that's happening in our lives, the God of Jacob is with us. He is our strength. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. And as long as we can trust in Him and hold true to Him, we always have that hope. A hope of a better tomorrow, a hope of a future. And it may not be a future here. It may be our future in heaven. But as long as we hold on to Him, we know that we have that promise. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in You, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What can mere mortals do to me? Again, in these uncertain times, you know, and I'm the first to admit it, we were having twice a week, I think we're having twice a week, we're having conference calls in Ecuador, all through Zoom, because I think we have 9 families in Ecuador through OMS, and twice a week, we're having these conference calls. About every it was on Monday and Wednesday, I think. Every Monday and Wednesday, my heart would start to hurt a little bit, I'd have chest pains, and I was like, this ain't right. And what it was, I was getting fearful. I was letting fear rule my life because I was afraid of this virus. And it was causing me physical discomfort. And I told Barbara, I don't want to sit in these meetings, but we had to sit in these meetings. I don't want, because all it does is it increase my anxiety, increase my stress. I was letting anxiety and stress take over, fear take over. Because we're all human, right? So we're all susceptible to the world. And I was letting this fear that was going around the world take over my life. And you know, I was scared. I was scared, and it was causing me severe distress. You know, can't tell now, but I lost weight. You know, I definitely was not living a life for God because I was letting fear take over his spot where he deserved to be. So, with all this craziness in the world, we got to remember that God is our fortress. God is our strength. He is our shelter. That if we can find rest in him, he can take away that fear. He can take away the anxiety of what's going on. We don't need anything but God to take over that spot. We give him the first spot in our lives, the top spot in our lives, and he's going to take care of everything else. I remember, I'm old enough, right? Everybody remember Ronald Reagan, trickle-down economics? Starts at the top. As long as God's at the top, all the goodness is going to trickle down on everything else. But when we start placing God below something else, then we're missing that. We're missing the most important thing that he can give us. So we need to make sure that we are worried. We're not worried about what's going on in the world. Just stay focused. And it's hard. It's hard. Trust me, it is hard. I understand. You know, with our daughter's health and everything that's happening in the world, it's hard to stay focused on God sometimes. But he knows that. He knows that. That's why he reminds us every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. So if I fall down here, get back up here. Don't just let that snowball until it's out of control. Come back to me. And that's where he says, you know, just hold on. I got you. I will hold you. Let go. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. This is one that everybody should recognize, right? 22-25, Luke chapter 8, 22-25. Jesus calms the storm. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. Now Jesus was in the boat with them this time, and he said, as they sailed, he fell asleep. So a squall came up. Everybody know what a squall is? All right, big storm. So this big storm came up and lost sight on the lake, and the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Then he says, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." I don't know if you guys realize this, but you know, We're in a storm. We're in a storm. And the question is this. And this story has always amazed me, because at this point, the disciples have seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen him raise people from the dead. And for my life, for myself, you know, I have Jesus in my life, but Jesus is not standing right here. He's not in the flesh. He was in the flesh, right there beside him in the boat. And they're freaking out. Oh, we're going to drown, we're going to drown. He's already told them who he is. They know who he is. But they don't know who he is. They don't have full trust in him yet. So during the storm, what are they doing? They're starting to panic. They're starting to rely on their own selves. What can we do? What are we going to do? Oh, Lord, Master, Master. And what's he say? Where is your faith? You know, I think in the middle of the storm, if we truly have Jesus with us in the middle of any storm, we should be calm. We should be still. That's a word that's funny. My grandpa used to say, just be still. I don't know, what are you talking about, be still? I don't know what that is. Just be quiet. Relax. Take heart. I am here. Where is your faith? And I think so many times, me personally, because I'm speaking of me now, I'm not still. And I have to come back to, where is my faith? My faith is in Jesus. As long as my faith is in Jesus, what else is there? What if I die? If I die, I die. I'm going to a much better place. I don't want to die, but if I die, I'm going to a much better place. But we let that fear of death, that fear of illness, because nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to be sick. We've, you know, when I became a father, my life changed drastically, because their lives became more important than my life. And then when I was a school teacher for 22 years in Urbana, Ohio, and for every year except for one, I went on a school trip. For the first 9 years, we took our eighth graders to Boston, Massachusetts, and did a whole American history tour over there. Then after that, I went to Washington, D.C., and I used to tell the kids, you know, if something happens, I'm going to be there. Because I'm going to put my life in front of your life as my kid, because they all became my kids as my students. So being a parent, that's where your life goes to. And I always have to reflect back to, okay, God is my father. He put his life before me. Jesus was his sacrifice before me, so that I didn't have to fear, that I didn't have to have this anxiety. But it still creeps in there. That's the enemy trying to attack and trying to separate me from my father, trying to break that grip that he has on me, trying to separate us and slip us apart. But I have to come back to and remember, where's my faith? My faith is in God. My faith is in Jesus, and he died for me. And as long as I have that faith, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. So there's a part of the song, and I marked this down. It says, in your eyes, if your eyes are on the storm, if your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. And I think that's natural, that we sometimes, as Christians, we question, where are you, God? What's the purpose of this? Why? And we may never know the true answer to why. I think one of the greatest things that's happening, and Barbara spoke about a little bit during this pandemic, is that the church, not the building, because the building ain't the church. Sorry, bad English. The building isn't the church. But the people of the church have started to go out, have started to share with their neighbors, check on their elderly neighbors, check on their friends, reach out to people. How can we help? How can we be of service? What can we do? And in Paiatanga, you know, they're going out, passing out food to those people in need. And that's happening here. So we may not see the whole big picture in our little tiny minds, but we have to have faith that God has it all in hand and that something good is coming. And I see good coming out of this. I do see good coming out of this. So if your eyes are focused on the storm, you'll wonder if I still love you, if I love you still. But if your eyes are focused on the cross, you'll know I always have and I always will. That's where we got to stay focused. We got to stay focused on the cross. And on the cross is Jesus. Proverbs. Next slide, please. Proverbs. Chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding. I think that's one of the hardest things that we do sometimes as Christians is the all your heart part. All your heart part. And I used to tell my daughters, you know, and the enemy's out there. And your heart has to have a shield. And that shield is Jesus. But what if there's a crack in your shield? And they have what if there's a crack in your wall? Or a crack in a window? Things can get through. So the enemy is just looking for a crack. So where's your heart? Is your whole heart covered with that blood of Jesus? Do we submit to Him through everything? And again, it's hard, especially when in the middle of conflict, in the middle of all this, it's hard to submit everything. But it's that daily struggle. We just got to remember, it's a daily struggle, and sometimes it's a minute by minute, hour by hour struggle. That we just got to go back. We just got to take a step back. Okay, Lord, You got it, and then move forward, and then move forward. And then you think about what are the possibilities if we could do that? If we could just keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Our possibilities are limitless. You know, the church, again, not the building, but the church is as far as people can go and grow and grow and grow. Because if we are witnesses by showing our lives of how Jesus changed our lives and how we live our lives for Jesus, what's that going to do to, how's that going to impact our friends at school, our friends at work, our neighbors? How's that going to impact that? That's just going to help the kingdom grow. So if we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus and live a life truly that brings glory and honor to Him, possibilities are endless for the kingdom of God. Matthew 14. Was there a slide before that with the picture? Picture blue one. Now you guys won't be able to see that. It's too dark. Now this is actually from Ecuador. We're in church in Ecuador. It's in Spanish, and it says, "Fe is." Basically, it says in English, it says, "Faithfulness is risky. Faith is risky. Having faith is risky. It takes, you know, it's to step out in faith." We say, well, just step out in faith. That means take a risk. And I put this in here because when we finally sold out for God, when we sold out for this being a missionary thing, we were sitting at a church and they were talking and they said this. They were doing their Sunday school and the service was either, and it was talking about the storm. And with Peter, and said, either you're going to be in the boat, or you're going to get out of the boat. What are you going to do? You're going to stay in the boat, or you're going to get out of the boat? And at that point, we were kind of teetering in the middle. And, we were at school, and you know, we still had our jobs at school, making good money, doing a good thing, living a good life. And then we had God saying, leave all that stuff. That's not important. Come out here and follow Me. That really spoke to us. And that was on a Sunday. And on Tuesday, I got an email from Barbara at school saying, I just resigned. She didn't tell me. She didn't ask me ahead of time. What are you doing? She didn't tell me ahead of time. She just said, I resigned. Send your letter of resignation. And I sent it. And we stepped out of the boat. And that was May. And by October that same year, we were living in Ecuador. God is good. God is good. But you got to be willing to step out of the boat. That's where Matthew comes in here. Matthew 14, 22, verse 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. Buffeted by the waves because of the wind against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. It's a ghost. And cried out in fear. Right? So he sent them ahead. And then he's walking on the water. Now, I used to think of this all the time, and you hear it says, Jesus is the only person who walked on water, right? Not so. The next slide, 27, verses 27 through 32, or 33, says, But Jesus immediately said to them, Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So again, where are our eyes focused? If our eyes are focused on the world, what's happening around in the world, they can't be focused on Jesus. And if they're not focused on Jesus, we can't truly walk with Jesus. Peter was walking with Jesus on the water until he lost focus. And then he began to sink. So, lines 3 and 4 again in my song here says, if your eyes are focused on the storm, are we focusing on the storm? Are we focusing on the storm of this world? Or are we going to focus on Jesus? Alright? And finally, here we go. I'm closing it up. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a promise. That's a promise that God has made us. That if we come to Him, we will find the rest. What's another word for rest? Peace. We will find the peace that only He can provide us, that only He can give us. But we have to come to Him. And then there's a picture. I don't know if you can see this last picture. So this is what I imagine when Peter went under. Jesus stuck out His hand and held him. So, Pulled him up out of the water of the world. So my final question is, are we there? Are we able to just trust Him and let Him, He's got His arms out all the time for us. His arms are always open to us, always open for us. Are we willing to just be held by Him? Or are we going to try and hold on? Because if we're going to try and hold on to the things of the world, we're trying to hold on to our you know, our money, our houses, or whatever, whatever it is, if we're going to try and hold on to that, that will always fail. That will always fail. But if we just hold on, hold our arms out, and let, just like with Seth, let God hold us, let Jesus wrap his arms around us and hold us, and just be held, then he will never fail. Okay? Let us pray. Father, Lord, I do thank you. I thank you for your loving, embraceful arms, Lord, that want to hold us. Lord, I pray that we can just step away from ourselves, get out of our own ways, and just allow you to do that, just to hold us. Be there for us, because you're always there for us. In our times of need, in our times of struggle, anxiety, fear, whatever we're facing in our lives, Lord, I just pray. I pray that we can get out of the way, Lord, and just be like the children you've created us to be, and be held by the Father. Hold us all tight, Lord, as we go today, Lord, and help us be a light among this world, Lord, that needs to see your love. So help us be that light of your love so that others may be drawn to you. No matter what we do, Lord, and everything we do, Lord, I pray that the glory always comes back to you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice for our lives, Lord. And let us help and help us live out our lives for you. In Jesus' name we give thanks and praise. Amen. All right, well, thank you so much for letting us share a word that God gave me a little bit of. That's all I have. I don't know where we're at with Matt.
I think so, yeah. Jesse out there? There he is. He's just sort of counter-seeing back here. Jesse's going to come forward. I think we need to have your wife come up. Barbara, I think, and Todd, we need to sit down. We're going to pray for you.
Thank you.